our next guests are going to talk to us about medical travel, because right now in this country, I think our health system is in big trouble, and a lot of us are getting sick and not having the resources, you know, for surgery. And I think, you know, just personally from the research we've done, it's expensive, and then you may actually, I'm going to ask the doctor about this, but you may actually go and get, somebody may say, okay, well, I'll do it for this price, and it's a lot cheaper than somewhere else, but you may actually get yourself into more trouble too. So we're going to talk about medical travel with health travel guides, so let's bring them on. A lot of you that have been listening to our shows and on our website, bigblendmagazine.com, you've seen us talk about health travel guides. It's a group that helps people go from America to different countries for health care that is affordable and also high in quality. And actually, they don't just deal with people going from America to different countries. They deal with all kinds of it. So if you get a chance, go to healthtravelguides.com. And today, our guest is Dr. Arnon Kronrad. He is the founder and medical director of the Kronrad Institute for Minimally Invasive Prostate Surgery in Miami, Florida. But he is a pioneer of sorts, and he's an American surgeon who has worked to create a center of excellence abroad in Trinidad so that he can offer his service as in medical travel to patients who cannot afford U.S. healthcare costs. And we were talking about this earlier, that it's amazing that our doctors are not traveling out of the country with patients from America to help them. So it's really interesting. Hi, Dr. Kronrad, how are you?
Good. I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we're really glad you're on the show with us today. And I also know one of your patients, Wayne Vautier, is on the line too. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm glad you're both coming on the show today, because I think it's something important. And Dr. Kronrad, you know, you're a pioneer in the LRP procedure. Can you tell us what that is?
LRP is a treatment for early-stage prostate cancer.
Okay.
Men like Wayne have a number of options when they're first diagnosed. Surgery is a staple of that list of choices. That kind of surgery can be done with the historical technique where we cut the patient open, or it can be done with the laparoscopic technique, which we introduced 10 years ago. The advantages to the patient of going laparoscopically is much less pain, much less bleeding, and therefore a much faster recovery, which, as we will get into, were things that were very important to Wayne in his situation.
Okay, good. That's good. You know, the less pain that we can go through and the, you know, speedy recovery is always good. But I want to talk a little bit about the Center of Excellence and what motivated you to start it in Trinidad. It's really interesting to me that you're doing it out of the country.
Well, let's take a couple steps back and just consider the notion of service and medical care. The simple reality is that travel is not a new concept. Patients are traveling out of the country today, but patients have always traveled. Here's what's changed. In the past, patients have traveled seeking quality. You would go to Institution X because you believe that you would get better quality care. Today, patients are traveling not for quality, but for cost containment. It's a very different pressure from what we've been used to historically. The economic pressures that patients are feeling, and in this example is perfectly illustrates those pressures, raise the question as to whether or not patients, in seeking the lowest bidder, so to speak, are potentially going to compromise choice and quality. And we'll talk about that. The other component of travel is that doctors have always traveled also. You find it interesting that I traveled, but I want to remind everybody that the notion of a doctor going to a patient is old. My first medical memory happened when I was 6 years old. My father was a young doctor. A man was having chest pain. He grabbed me. We got in the car, and we went to the patient, right? That's a house call is what we call it.
Right, yeah.
So what we're talking about in this instance is, in essence, a global and modernized house call on steroids, if you will, right? Doctors traveling, old concept. What happened here is the patient presented us with a very big challenge, and his example, in my view, mirrors the challenge that the country is facing. We have tremendous pressures on us to cut costs. However, we never want to give up choice. We never want to give up quality. We want the best of both worlds. And so the question he asked us was, could I have my choice, in his case, a minimally invasive prostate operation, but could I have it for a price that I could afford? The only way we were able to deliver to him the things that he wanted, very legitimately, very reasonably, what he wanted, like so many people want, was to reshuffle the operational deck and to get on the plane and deliver to him what he needed, and as importantly, not deliver to him what he did not need. That's how he got choice and cost containment.
Now, Wayne, you know, when you started working with Health Travel Guides, was there any fear of doing this, of traveling out of the country to have a surgery done?
Well, I had a little bit of reservations because I haven't been out of the country. But after talking with the people down there, Jeff and everybody, it put my mind at ease.
Okay, good. And then it was everything, you know, did you enjoy it when you were there? I mean, not enjoy the surgery, I mean, but you know what I mean? Were they helpful?
Yeah, the travel going down there to Trinidad took my mind off a lot of things. And,
that's interesting.
It was, you know, it was a completely different experience.
Dr. Klongard, can you describe the Center of Excellence and what happens there?
Sure. I want to highlight that the question you asked, I think, is a question that lots of people are asking. In other words, what are the barriers for Americans traveling out of the country? In other words, in particular, particularly while they are ill, where they're facing a personal challenge, but also, let's say, to a location where they've never been before, have no support system, have no families. That cultural barrier, if you will, is one that is affecting lots of parties that want to send patients out of the country. And I think the model that we used here, wherein Wayne didn't really go abroad in the sense that he brought his American surgical team with him, I think was part of the remedy. In other words, part of the reasons that allowed him to feel more comfort in doing it, and that caused Health Travel Guides really to involve us. Right.
You know, I think that's, you know, it's a good point because, you know, for like Nancy and I, we've traveled so much, you know, it becomes, you know, it's very normal to us. But for a lot of people, I mean, they haven't traveled out of the country. You know, Wayne, you're saying that's your first time out of the country, you know, and you're also going for a medical reason. You know, to me, it's an adventure, but you're not by yourself. You know, Health Travel Guides, you know, from what we've dealt with them, they really do have that support. So you're really not alone. Isn't that the way it is, Dr. Klongard?
And I think that's exactly right. In this case, we had a really super example of that because, I mean, Wayne and I literally took the same flight down, and his surgeon walked him through customs. You're not going to get that every time, right?
Wow.
So, but I think you used the word that we have to be careful about. I think you used the word adventure, and it's very important. I think Health Travel Guides recognizes it, and, in fact, symbolically their name implies that this is not tourism in the conventional sense. You are not going rafting. You're not going on a fishing trip.
Right.
As attractive as the Taj Mahal might be,
right.
You know, if your surgery doesn't go well, it just doesn't matter where you are. You know, the first and only imperative in all of this is that you get, A, the treatment that's appropriate for you and that you want, and that it is done at a very high quality level. Everything else basically trails off at that point from my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for Wayne, look, the fact is that Health Travel Guides used us as a case manager, as a medical case manager. We were in touch with Wayne. We reviewed all his records. I mean, this is something we've been doing for years, so for us this was old hat. But we were able to give him a sense of comfort because he was able to interact with us and ask all the questions that every patient asks. Right?
That is so important, I think, because in a lot of medical care now, it's like, here you go, meet your doctor, and a lot of times, they don't even explain it to you. I've had surgery, and they wouldn't even tell me what was going to happen to me going under anesthesia, and it scared me to death. I mean, I was literally freaking out.
That's a very important red flag, and this speaks to the issue of quality. I'm not saying things didn't go well in your case and that they wouldn't go well in somebody else's case, but if, as a general rule, the single most important variable in what happens to you in surgery is who's your surgeon. Part of the process of selecting your surgeon is, can I communicate with him? Because if the answer to that is no, the chances are not great that he's going to take your individual needs well into account. And remember something, medicine is not practiced on 100,000 people. It's a one-on-one endeavor. It's a customized endeavor, and nothing more so than invasive surgery of the kind that we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
So communication
and part of
is really important.
Part of what you're doing with, you know, the house call mentality, I mean, you know, I was raised in Africa, and a lot of, you had the flying doctors back there, you know? And so I understand the house call, and it's, you know, it's something that people have gotten away from. I mean, it does happen in other countries, and it is an older thing. It's just, you know, now it is, you're sitting in a waiting room, in an emergency room or something like that, and you're going to be sitting there for sometimes up to 8 hours before people even talk to you. So, you know, this quality is almost unheard of to me. You know, it's just amazing. And I think that's what I really like about health travel guides is they really, they check you out as well as a doctor pretty thoroughly, don't they?
Well, they do. You know, I worked in a clinic in Kenya years ago. You're reminding me that we used to have a flying dentist fly in as needed. This takes us back to the fundamentals. That's right. There's quality is not stationary. Quality is mobile. So when we needed somebody with certain dental skills, we would fly them in. And that's all we're really talking about here. But as a trend, you used that word, I think, initially when you introduced the segment. This is not a trend. I want to be clear about that. The notion of an American surgical team bringing its patient, or the flip side, an American patient bringing his surgical team with him to a foreign country for the seemingly simple task of delivering fundamental health care. And again, we're not dealing with something esoteric here. We're talking about prostate cancer. That's something that's extremely common. I think Wayne's case, our case, establishes a brand new precedent. It worked flawlessly in this case. Like I said, it delivered something to him that he could not have gotten in the United States. It cut his cost of the global package by a little bit over 50%.
Wow.
What it would have cost here. Still got him his choice, still got him home 5 days later. It's a brand new model. It's a new operational model. And given the medical economic circumstances in which we find ourselves, I think we owe it to ourselves, to our brothers, and to our sisters to explore the broad relevance of this kind of model. We really have to reshuffle the operational decks and say, look, it's nice that the government is working to fix all our problems, Congress and the president and everybody else, but in the meantime, there are men and women knocking on the door who need help today. And
absolutely.
So this is a model that can help today. Not all things to all people, but some things to some people.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up because it is true. People are traveling. They travel, yes, for the adventure, fun, let's travel outside the country. But, you know, the medical travel, like we're watching what Health Travel Guides is doing with Mexico, a lot of people are starting to cross the borders. But I really, when she told me that you as a surgeon and a medical team went to another country with the patient, I was like, okay, are you kidding me? This is happening from America to another country. This is amazing. But the cost savings is huge. And, Wayne, how important was that for you, when you were going to do the surgery, when you were looking at prices of what happens?
Well, the less invasive up here was just totally out of my reach, and they wanted to do the radical procedure on me. They weren't really giving me any options on anything else. They really didn't discuss any other options. And
wow.
I just got very upset, and 2 days later I got on the Internet and just started doing a Google search. And
wow.
Came up with the Health Travels and came up with Dr. Congrad's website. And just got in touch with them and just got things going.
That's amazing. So you were able to get quality and a savings at the same time.
I was out of work, and I don't have any health insurance.
Wow.
I was just going to ask about that. Associate Doctor, why is it that American health care is so expensive compared to everywhere else?
Well, you're asking me to be a comparative international medical economist.
Sorry.
I'm not qualified. I can only tell you why I think in this case we managed to work out, a $25,000 cost saving.
That's huge.
It's enormous, obviously. The other element of all this is that with his savings we were able to guide Wayne towards an insurance policy. So he not only got choice and quality and cost containment, he also got some risk management. The only way I can answer your question is to speculate, and if you want, I can try it, but please keep in mind that I'm really not an economist.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, among the things, first of all, hospital costs, the cost basis generally for labor and everything else and insurance and everything else is just much higher in the United States than in Trinidad, right? I mean, if you compare the two economies. And so the hospital costs in Trinidad were really substantially lower than what they are here, even at the best deals that I could help maneuver and pressure and all that here in Miami, it's just much cheaper over there. I was not directly involved in Wayne's research at home, and so I don't know exactly why the original costs quoted to him were as high as they were, but what he told me was not out of whack with what I would expect generally. Some of what he was quoting and reporting to me involved the use of machinery of surgical gizmos that are known to add cost but are not known to add any quality. These are machines that we can use or not use. It really depends on surgeon experience and surgeon ability and surgeon preference. And so knowing that, we put those aside also. We don't need them. And so we were able, as surgeons with very specific subject expertise, to dispense with all, that's what I was saying before, get rid of the things that you don't need. I don't need a fountain in the lobby. I don't need a five-star hotel. I do need a high-definition video monitor.
Okay.
Right. So I seek only the things that I need. And this gets me to a fundamental point. You were asking me an economic question. It just occurs to me that if we as a country are going to be serious about cost containment, the best way we can go about it when it comes to surgical cost and surgical quality, in other words, preserve the quality while cutting the cost, is to ask the surgeons to do it. Surgeons have an ability in the operating room that no economist has. We know what we don't need. Right?
Ah.
And in essence, I think Wayne's case illustrates that beautifully, because I know what I'm doing. I've been doing it for 10 years. I brought the technique into being. I can tell you that all the stuff that everybody's trying to sell me that will add cost, that will put profit in their pockets, doesn't help me in the operating room. I can put all that on the side.
Wow. See, but that's breathing. That's a reality even just in general business. You know, it's interesting, you know, what happens with decisions of this is a little, you know, this is a little shinier over here. You know, Wayne, I wanted to ask you about once you went over and you were with your doctors and the doctor team, when you got there, what was the center of excellence like where you were having the surgery? Did you feel comfortable? Was it clean? How was your experience overall for that?
It was awesome, as far as I can, all I could say. It's just I've never been treated so well. The hospital staff was so compassionate and caring, and the doctor was so compassionate and caring. I've never experienced anything quite like that.
That is amazing. You know, I've had medical procedures done outside of the country here, and I've had good ones here, and you know, I've had a few. Let's put it that way. But there is a caring feeling sometimes that I think is really important when you're going through a surgery to not be left alone. Like I was saying, you know, Dr. Klongrad, when I had that one surgery and no one would talk to me, the paranoia that goes through a patient, I mean, I'm ready to have an asthma attack and absolutely freak out. And that lack of communication, Wayne, it's really good to hear that you obviously had that communication. You knew what was going to happen with you all the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, the whole staff, I just can't say enough about the people down there. It was just unbelievable.
How did your family respond to the fact, and your friends, when you said, I'm going to go to Trinidad for my surgery? How did they respond to that?
They kind of looked at me a little funny, but I told them, you know, I had to do it to get better care and get a better affordable care.
Yeah, I bet you they're happy now, huh?
Yeah.
would you recommend this experience for somebody going through the same thing?
Oh, yes, definitely I would. I can't thank Dr. Klongrad enough for what he's done for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Dr. Klongrad, what happens now after aftercare treatment? Because, you know, he's had the surgery. What happens now? Do you still work with him in some way?
We like to joke in the office that when we send our patients back, and we really are accustomed to working with patients from pretty far away, that we expect them, the part of their obligation to us is to keep sending us PSA reports and updates at least once a year for the next 30 years, after which they're off the hook. But, you know, once you're a member of the fraternity, I mean, you're in for life. We're always available. A guy like Wayne's not going to need too much of hands-on after surgery. What he is going to need is things like a PSA test, which all men with prostate cancer really need after diagnosis and treatment. There may be some functional sequelae that, and side effects that can happen. For example, urinary incontinence is reasonably common after radical prostatectomy. So as much as anything, the men need some hand-holding, a discussion what you should eat, what you should not eat. Beer, for example, is the worst thing you could be drinking if you have urinary incontinence. And so there's a lot of that that goes on. That's part of the continuity of care that happens after a radical prostatectomy.
And you do that with them once they come home?
We all do. Yeah, everybody here in the office is on deck for that one. Yeah, it's important.
Oh, okay.
It's really important. I mean, a few words of wisdom, insights from having seen hundreds of men go through this, you know, can really help make a huge difference.
I want to ask a little bit about, you know, is there just men's health in general? Are there tests that they should be taking? You know, like women, you know, we have to have breast exams all the time, the mammograms and things. You know, is there something for men as well that they should be, you know, doing at a certain age, or how does that work?
Well, men's health is obviously a very, very broad topic that includes everything from cancer to cardiovascular disease, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you ought to be checking your blood pressure periodically, you ought to be checking your cholesterol. But specifically, all of those discussions should be, and all of those decisions should be made in consultation with your doctor. These are, in many cases, individual decisions.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to prostate cancer, it's quite important that you make those decisions about a blood test like the PSA, for example, and the prostate exam, what we call the digital rectal exam, in consultation with your doctor, because the implications of having them done really have to be assessed in the context of everything else that's going on with you. Right? So, for example, the rest of your health. So, for example, if you're 75 years old and you're overweight and you're diabetic, you probably don't need to have those tests done, right? So
okay. It's
not one size fits all. Again, I want to stress that quality means individual care, not mass care.
I love it. I love that.
It's amazing.
It's rare to hear. So it's really good to know that we're on the route for quality, and I think this is great. I mean, where did you come up with the idea of doing this? Of you know, being this pioneer of like, okay, we're going to actually go out there to another country and do this. What led you to do it?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I will say that I've traveled a fair amount in the Caribbean over the last year. I do some not-for-profit work that led me there. And I was kind of comfortable and used to being there myself. I had seen mm-hmm. different hospitals in the Caribbean, and I knew where the good ones were. And we certainly identified the one that we're talking about in Trinidad as being good, certainly vis-a-vis the specific issue at hand, which is a laparoscopic radical prostatectomy. I like to travel anyway. It's kind of old. Like I said, you know, I worked in a mm-hmm. clinic in Africa. I made a house call. That was in Israel. I've done prostate exams in Alaska. So geography is not really a barrier to quality care as far as I'm concerned. I think health travel is something we should all be looking at as an option because of the economic considerations. My biggest concern, my biggest emphasis as a practicing surgeon, though, is I want to be sure that quality is part of the mix. It's not enough for me that a guy like Wayne or anybody else goes someplace and saves 50%. That person's got to come home again.
Right,
quality has to be a part of this mix. And if I don't get involved and if surgeons don't get involved, I don't really want to think about what could happen.
Right.
Well, I think this is the benefit also for health travel guides because they test all their doctors. You know, they really do a thorough interview process with them. So it's kind of like a really good place to go for anything medical that you're going to, any kind of surgery. You know, they do all kinds of, you know, procedures through their network. I think, you know, that kind of resource is invaluable now because, I mean, really, where do people go? Others, you know, I really, you know, if something happens, there's so many people without insurance now, where do they go? I mean, Wayne, I mean, what happened when you were doing the research on this and you found it through Google, which is great, you know, but were there other options out there that people were offering, you know, lower things that just didn't sound right to you or, you know, the choices out there?
Was this really
the only option, huh?
There were some different procedures out there, but I wasn't very sure about them. One of them was ultrasound, and I wasn't quite sure about that. But when I got on Dr. Congrad's website there, and I read over the testimonials, I read over all the information, and then there was a short video on there on a health program, and I just, I just felt confident with him.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, I want to ask you, what actually happens in the United States if someone doesn't find someone like you on the internet, someone who needs some kind of surgery or, you know, they have a health problem, but they really, what happens to people who don't have health insurance or money? Are they refused service or what really actually happens to them?
Well, again, you're asking me to be a health economist in a sense or a health sociologist, and I'm really not. I'm a surgeon.
Okay,
but
yeah, right.
I mean, I can tell you what I read in the papers, and that is we're reading increasingly about people putting off potentially essential medical care, mm-hmm. which puts them, obviously puts their health in great jeopardy.
Right. I mean,
that was Wayne's conundrum. I mean, what he just said to you, in essence, mm-hmm. was, I couldn't get my choice.
Right.
I was being offered. I went back on Google. I searched for all kinds of things, and I saw all kinds of substitutes, but mm-hmm. they didn't feel to me like they were the optimal treatment. What he said was, I wanted surgery. I want it done minimally invasively. That was his choice, right? A patient made a reasonable choice, and he couldn't have his choice because of the cost issues.
Yeah.
That's what we're reading about in the paper. Patients know that they have a medical problem. They've been diagnosed or they're having a symptom of some sort. They're going to try to get it fixed, and according to the newspaper accounts, they're postponing things because of cost considerations. So you've got a terrible conflict between choice and cost, terrible mm-hmm. conflict. And again, I don't know that the outbound elective surgical model is a remedy for all of what's facing Americans. But as we said, it can help some. Again, we want to cut cost. It's a legitimate objective. But we want to really preserve choice and quality.
Quality is key.
Yeah.
It really is. And the mass production, it sounds like the whole country needs to go that way. And also, you know, I do know that Health Travel Guides does offer some financial plans, some payment plans as well, so that's something to check out. Definitely check them out at healthtravelguides.com. Dr. Kromgrad, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you're a doctor and very busy. And Wayne, thanks so much, and I'm glad you're in optimal health and that you had a great surgery and that you found this.
Okay. Take care. Have a nice day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.